we going to...
I don't know.
I would have thought we would have.
The State Government Finance and Veterans Affairs Committee will come to order. The first meeting. I welcome you all. I am pleased to be the chair of the committee, and there are a couple unfamiliar faces even for me who's been looking at the chart a little bit before us, and I think that in our packets is a chart with the pictures of the people in the committee, and in our packet is a map of where the committee members' districts are. And so we can refer to that as we go in. And in our packets are also an agenda of which we are going to begin today. And follow through with what we don't get to today. On Wednesday, we will continue the meeting. On the note that was sent to you about the meeting today, we ask that everyone from the agencies and the public and the staff and the committee members that asked to be on the committee, and I thank you, and the committee members that were assigned to the committee, all would bring something that when you're introducing yourself a little bit later, that would help us remember you a little bit better and know something about what you value or what you do outside of your work. I expect you'll tell us where you live and why you're here perhaps, but there's something that is a little bit different that we don't usually express, but that you're willing to share so that we get to know you a little bit better. Building a bill takes a long time, and it takes a lot of working together. And if we have better understandings on a person-to-person basis, that will help a lot. I expect that the agencies should consider it important enough, not all the time, but to be here often enough so that you hear what the other agencies' expectations are and you understand that you are a part of the whole. And so when we get to the end and we get a target for the total, you're not sitting out there saying, well, I have to have this much, so we're going to have to get some from somebody else, and I don't care where. I don't want the end product to be a robbing Peter to pay Paul kind of thing. I would like us, as we go along, to establish a dialogue enough so that we have an understanding of the needs of all. And we have an understanding of what the people of Minnesota are expecting of us. and what we can do to arrive at a solution that we can all walk out with a bill with a smile on our face. I don't expect that State Department and Veterans Affairs is going to be a very political bill in the sense that I think all the agencies are meeting the citizens of Minnesota who are Republicans and are Democrats. I think veterans, veterans affairs organizations are people that are Democrats and Republicans and good Minnesotans. And so I don't think our bill, in the end, has to be one that has anything but unanimous support. Now, you might think, oh, there's Pollyanna sitting up there. But my goal is to do the best job that we can together through an understanding and dialogue as we go along. Now, I would like to announce that I have received phone calls from people that want to meet. But I would like to explain to you that we just took our oath of office on Tuesday. I live in northeastern Minnesota. I got here Tuesday morning. Ms. Melander is new to the state capitol. She's our legislative assistant. The first time I saw her was about 4 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon, because it was the first day for her, too. Because we had to be sworn in, the representatives had to be sworn in, and then we had to pass a resolution that said that we could hire the new people that were here for the first day. That being said, some of you called in and had to leave a message when you called in, and nobody picked up your phone, the phone message, after the former LA was hired to be a CA. So there's been switches. I would like to introduce, next to Ms. Melander, is Bryn. See, I goofed. Bryn
House, Representative Robbinsdale, right?
H-A-U-S-C. Thank you. Bryn House, who works for DFL Research. Joe Marple works for Republican Caucus Research, and he was the committee administrator for Representative Maury Lanning, State Department's committee, for the last 2 years. So welcome back. Bryn is brand new to her position. Ms. Nancy Conley is the committee administrator, which for this committee, and also for Ways and Means Committee. So Monday's our big day for her because Ways and Means, I had a meeting this morning at 10. And she came in and touched base at about 11:30 with their meeting ended, and she ran up to make sure everything was okay. What is our committee going to talk about? What are our accounts? What agencies are we responsible for funding? What are the issues that are coming before those committees? House research, independent, nonpartisan House research is represented in this committee by Mark Shepherd. Mark Shepherd has been here for many years. Jim Cleary also works for Independent House Research as an analyst and the person that is most knowledgeable in House Research about Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs. Both Mr. Shepherd and Mr. Cleary are experienced with the subject matter that I've described. Mr. Shepherd has been with the committee for a long time. Mr. Shepherd and Mr. Cleary, would you give us now an overview of what you see coming before us?
Madam Chair, members, Mark Shepherd from the House Research Department. And as the Chair indicated, the primary role of this committee is to produce a bill at the further on in the legislative session that's going to be recommending funding for agencies within the committee's jurisdiction. And Ms. Roberts is going to be giving an overview in a little bit of the accounts that we have and some of the background and financial information about the committee. But I would just note briefly that in the process of putting together a bill with the funding recommendations, the committee often recommends changes in the laws that govern the operations of the agencies that relate to the funding issues and the funding decisions that you make. The specific topics of those laws vary greatly from year to year, but many of them tend to deal with functions that are common to all state agencies, not just those that are within the jurisdiction of the committee to make funding recommendations. So I'll just give a few examples of things that have come up and that may come up again. Consolidation of responsibility for information technology within state government. The committee and the legislature have enacted significant legislation in recent years that has assigned one agency within the executive branch authority over all information technology operations, and that is in process right now of being implemented. When there are ideas for changes in laws governing the state budget process itself, things that apply across all of the finance committees, this committee often considers those laws. If there are ideas for changes in laws governing state contracts, often state contracting has been a subject of interest to the committee because the state spends a lot of money on contracts, and so if you're looking at ways that you can create efficiencies or save money in the state budget, then the laws governing contracts sometimes have been discussed. Changes in laws governing state employee compensation, the process for establishing the compensation, and the committee also has tended to have jurisdiction to hear bills that review proposed collective bargaining agreements with state employee unions and the state, and the compensation plans that are put together by management for employees who are not represented by exclusive representatives. And finally, before Mr. Cleary talks a bit about the veterans and military side, I would mention that one subject matter that sometimes comes before the committee is fiscal issues relating to any election law changes. Because the committee has jurisdiction over the Secretary of State budget, that in the past has tended to bring into the committee consideration of legislation relating to elections if there's fiscal implications for those bills, which there often are. So, Madam Chair, that concludes my overview, and I think Mr. Cleary was going to speak a bit about some veterans and military issues that have tended to come before the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Cleary.
Yes, Madam Chair and members, I'm happy to be here serving this year. The larger part of the House research role here in your committee is performed by Mark Shepard, simply because there's a lot more business on the state government side than on the Veterans Division. But in the Veterans Division, let me just mention there are two major client agencies, if you will. One is Department of Military Affairs, which is responsible for the National Guard, which brings in each year about $200 million in federal funding. And that federal funding is a real jobs program throughout, especially rural Minnesota, but also the metro area for a lot of hardworking young people who are on the way to becoming adults, really. So it has some social benefits as well. Relatively little money comes from the state, I think about $20 million. I would have to catch up with that. Alan Roberts here is a nonpartisan staffer in the fiscal area. So when I'm asked questions like that, I immediately turn to Helen and get the real answers. But a relatively small portion, about 10% or less of the military affairs budget comes from the state. 90% or so comes from the federal government. Their primary responsibility in the Department of Military Affairs is the National Guard. We often think of military affairs and the National Guard as essentially the same thing. But technically, military affairs is the State Department that takes care of the National Guard and manages it. The military affairs has one very important state program that's state funded
for about $10 million. I'm sorry, I should have asked. Were you able to hear that? If not, I could repeat it. No, I won't do that.
Go for it.
Thank you. The military affairs spends about $10 million per year on a tuition reimbursement program for National Guard members. This is an excellent way for a young man or a young lady to go to college by joining the National Guard and taking advantage of those funds, the state funds that are available for that purpose. If the person goes off to a federal deployment and comes back, then the National Guard member is also a veteran and has veterans benefits, federal veterans benefits for various things, including education. The second department that in the area of Veterans Affairs and Military Affairs is the Department of Veterans Affairs. MDVA, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, not to be confused with the USVA. The USVA is out there. The USVA's big commitment to Minnesota is not only the federal benefits, but also the USVA Medical Clinic, VAMC, in Minneapolis, which brings in probably $1 billion a year in federal spending for medical care for veterans. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has a relatively small budget as state departments go, and they have a number of programs that they oversee for the state, for the legislature, including the Minnesota tuition program, the Minnesota GI Bill is the proper name, which is a benefit after everything else runs out. If a person is still attending college, they can get some funding from the Minnesota GI Bill program. Also, the State Soldiers Assistance Fund, which has a few million dollars a year four grants to homeless or people at risk of homelessness, and a few other programs. And they also assist veterans in applying for federal benefits. I'm sure we'll be hearing from those two departments, Military Affairs and Veterans Affairs, at some time. We will probably not be hearing from U.S. VA. They don't really have a need to come before the legislature. And we will also be hearing from county veteran service officers. There's one, at least one in each county to help veterans apply for federal benefits and state benefits. And we'll be hearing from, I'm sure, veteran service organizations. There are about 44 or more veteran service organizations in the country that have been congressionally chartered. And there are a few additional ones that have not been congressionally chartered. Congress has stopped doing that. These veteran service organizations are the American Legion, the VFW, for example. Some of the smaller ones we don't generally hear from are like the Jewish War veterans. Sometimes we hear from the Gold Star mothers or Gold Star families who've lost a member in combat or military service otherwise, and so on. So they provide each unique services to veterans, and they play an important role. They have a very small amount of state funding. Many times they're funded by their own members. The VFW, for example, or the American Legion. The American Legion is the largest of all of those by far. And, Madam Chair, I think that pretty well wraps it up.
Okay.
Hope that was helpful.
And Representative Detmer, is the organization of veterans organizations the group that you chair?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I chair the Military Action Group. It's a think tank for different veterans issues that a lot of different organizations come in, including the Secretary of State, the Governor's Office, Military Affairs, the Commissioner. We deal with veterans issues, and we put together some legislation to bring it forward. And also, to add on to Mr. Cleary here, we also, the MenSCU system and the University of Minnesota, we have veterans station on campuses to help veterans with their benefits also, and that's provided, funded by the state, too. So.
Very good. And you have a meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock in 300 North.
Representative Kahn.
Yes, and Madam Chairman, just to prove that we do get rid of state departments every once in a while, when I was first elected, and possibly even when you were first elected, there was an Office of the Spanish War Veterans, and that no longer exists.
Why?
Yes.
They came.
Madam Chairman, they did come, and I don't think they got much of an appropriation, but they did have an office in the Capitol, and they did come for a while until nobody came anymore.
And Representative Kahn, I understand completely what you're saying, and I appreciate that very much, because on Friday we had the one of the grand openings of the Duluth Airport. And at the Duluth Airport, as you're coming into the new airport now, is a statue of Joe Gomer, who is 92 years old now. And he was there all afternoon Saturday, sitting by the statue that represents him as a young man when he was a Tuskegee Airman in the Second World War. And so we're so pleased that he was there for the dedication of that statue, and then now again he was there meeting the little kids that know all about him, because he's such an important person in our community. And so it's sad when they pass, but it's good that we can remember.
Yes.
Representative Detmer.
Yes, Madam Chair. I was the keynote speaker on Veterans Day at the Minneapolis Veterans Home, And it was brought to my attention by the Commissioner Shelato's office that this is the first year that we will not have a World War I veteran alive in Minnesota or Canada or United States. We do not have any World War I veterans left in our country.
Yes, Representative Kahn.
And along with that, last year we were also able to remove from statute the ability to have a World War I veteran license plate, even though it wasn't unanimous. There were some people who thought it was offensive to take it out of statute, but we didn't.
Very good. Ms. Roberts. Ms. Roberts works for the nonpartisan fiscal analyst staff of the House of Representatives. And welcome to the committee, Ms. Roberts, again and continually. You have been in charge of the fiscal analysis of the State Department Committee for a while now, and we welcome you to give us your input on what are our accounts.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Again, I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff. You do have a one-page list of the accounts in your packet, and then also a handout that I put together that provides a little bit more detail. I'm not going to go through all the detailed numbers, but we'll try and hit some of the high points. On the first page, you'll see that there's a chart that shows that this committee appropriates the funding and oversees the operations of several of the large state agencies, the legislature and constitutional offices, some of the small councils, military and veterans affairs, as has been discussed. And also, this committee does appropriate some funds for some of the specific pension aids. Some of the other pension aids, specifically the police and fire local aids, are in the tax bill, but there are the aids related to the teacher funds and then to MSRS are in this committee. On the second page of the handout, and for members who have been on this committee, you've probably heard this story before from me. One of the points I'd like to make is that because of the name of the committee, there's often a misconception that this committee sort of funds all of the bureaucracy or somehow funds all of state employees' salaries. And that's not true. We fund specific agencies that are listed under the jurisdiction. That having been said, this committee does have impact on all state agency operations because of the type of agencies that we have under our jurisdiction. For example, we have the Department of Revenue, which collects the revenues that help fund all of the other agency operations that are in other committees, finance committees. We have the governor and Minnesota Management and Budget and the legislature, which help, on the one hand, develop and propose budgets, and the legislature actually appropriates the budgets. MMB, or Minnesota Management and Budget, also negotiates the state labor contracts. They run the state accounting system. They manage the state employee insurance program, all which have significant impacts on all of state agency operations. And two other examples are the Department of Administration, which acts as the landlord for many of the agencies, oversees state contracting and procurement. And then the Office of Enterprise Technology, or MINET, which is their proposed new name, as Mr. Shepard noted before, provides all the IT services for the executive branch and has an expanded role even because of the consolidation that was passed by the previous legislature. I'm going to show you two pie charts just to show a little bit of a contrast in how you look at the budget. The first pie chart is the one that's labeled General Fund Budget. And this shows the distribution of the forecasted expenditures for the general fund budgets of the agencies in this committee. And this is where the agents or the committee is often focused most of their time because we will be given a general fund target. And that's, you know, obviously a high concern. And one of the reasons I show this pie chart is just to show you where really sort of the largest amount of dollars are going, because in some cases that provides a challenge for this committee to figure out if, particularly if we're given a limited target or have to make reductions. If you look at it, you know, you see revenue is the largest agency, but they're also the agency that's collecting the revenues. So there's a challenge there. The legislature itself, so your own budget, is 14%. Veterans Affairs, 13%. So just to give you a picture sort of how the general fund budget sorts out. And then on the spreadsheet on the next page is just a very high-level view of this general fund budget for the previous biennium and the biennium, or the current biennium and the biennium that we'll be budgeting for. I do have more detailed tracking available, and we'll have that later, that shows at a lower level, but this is at the agency level. The second pie chart is the one that's labeled all funds budget. And I just want to make clear that this is really for illustration purposes. There's a couple caveats. When you start trying to put together an all-funds budget, which means in addition to the general fund, all the other funds that are under the control of the agencies or appropriated to the agencies, one of the first things that we come in that is an issue with this committee is a double-counting issue, because our agencies are often providing services to other agencies within our committee, and so one agency has appropriated the money and it's paying another agency, and it's a little hard to account for that. I'd also note that these numbers are preliminary. We're working through the new budget system, both as a fiscal staff and the implementation of the system. And then there is one general fund adjustment, so for the sharp-eyed people that are looking at the previous chart, the Department of Veterans Affairs number is adjusted because of the way that they transfer their general fund appropriation into a special revenue account. So I think my main point, and this is to the agency too, the point of this chart is to illustrate how much the picture changes when you look at the activity that is not directly, the general fund directly appropriated number that we often fixate, because you'll see that the Office of Enterprise Technology is now the biggest sort of player because of the consolidation of the IT services. They're entering into service level agreements with all state agencies, and those expenditures are now showing up under OET. And in fact, if you look at their numbers from the previous biennium, you'll see a really huge change, and that's because of this consolidation. But another one you'll see that becomes a much bigger player is the Department of Administration, and again, that's because of their internal service funds, where they provide various services to all of our agencies. And the agencies, because the agencies are actually appropriated the money and then pay admin, you don't see that in admin's general fund budget, but you'll see that in their expenditure activity. The next following pages are just some more detail on the all funds for the various agencies. And again, please note that these are preliminary, but it's just to give you an idea of the variety of activity that falls under all of the agencies. Following those detailed numbers, I'm sorry, I should have put numbers on this handout. There's a page that's labeled Agency Billings and Internal Service Funds. And again, this is to show you some examples of some of the internal activity that's happening within this committee. I've noted the several large internal service funds, or the larger internal service funds within Department of Administration, the Office of Enterprise Technologies, which has its own large internal service fund. And then one other program that wasn't noted on the previous chart, again, because of the sort of double counting issue when you're involving employee contributions, et cetera, is the statewide insurance plans that are managed by Minnesota Management and Budget. And then I've noticed some additional, under that, other examples of agencies within our committee that either charge for a service or provide or receive some sort of reimbursement. And I probably should have noted on here, too, also, as the Public Facilities Authority was not showing up on the all funds chart. But they have a large, they do not receive any general fund money from this committee, but there's a large amount of activity through their revolving loan activity. Almost done. So the last thing I'll talk about is just the page that says sources of information on agency budgets. And there are some links here. The first is to the agency profile pages that have already been released on MMB's website. And these provide brief overviews of each agency's purpose and strategies. And for members who are returning, if you look at these profiles, you'll notice a difference from previous years. The focus this time is much more on statewide outcomes that were determined by the governor and the executive branch and some streamlining of the narrative. So if you want to get some initial background before we receive the governor's budget, those are out there. And if I can send them to you, too, if you would like that. There's a link just to our fiscal staff page, where we will provide all of our detailed tracking sheets and update them throughout the session. I've also noted that all the fiscal analysts have access to the new budget and accounting system, so we are hoping to be able to provide more detail than what you will receive in the budget books, but we are also learning that system as we speak, so it's a little bit of a challenge for us. And then also, finally, the legislative audit reports, you will find both financial audits and program audits for the various agencies in our committee. Finally, the last few pages are just a glossary that our department puts together. I pulled out this section that deals with state government finance terms. The full document is available on our website, or I can provide it to you. And I believe new members also receive this at new member training. That's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you. And earlier, Ms. Roberts and I were asked to supply a list of issues that might possibly come before the committee. And I would like all the agencies and representatives of the people that know of some issue that's possibly going to come before the committee to submit to us what they think that issue is that we have to be on the lookout for. The list that I had to turn in, it was sometime in the middle of December that I had to turn it in. And before I had the glossary and before I had the overlook, but this is what we, Ms. Roberts and I came up with at that time. And we were suggesting that because a significant amount of legislative expenditures and amounts of money, if we could have a bill that's out before the end of May, we would have a better understanding of what amount of money there is for the legislature and the commissions that they will have to deal with in the rest of this year or the rest of this session and into the next sessions. And we thought that was kind of important that because a significant amount of the legislative business has to be paid for, and it goes through this committee. We also said, as has already been mentioned, that this is a year that state contracts are up, including the employee compensations and benefit packages. And so we should be aware that they are going to come before us. We have to have the understanding of the sustainability of funding for the state pension funds. And that comes before this committee. And we're in a lot better position than many states are, but we're not in a good enough position to think about retiring soon. there are known requests of certain constitutional offices, like the Secretary of State would like to have funding to replace HAVA funds. The auditor might be going to be proposing an enterprise fund. The capital renovation has been started. We have to, in my opinion, that is something that we have to continue. And this next, for the second part of the capital renovation, is going to take a substantial amount of money. And so if we have a bonding bill, it should be, we should know what that money we're willing to submit will be. There's also continued consolidation on IT technology for state agencies, and that was started by previous State Department committees, and implementation of issues and challenges of the new state accounting and budget systems. And I was just, Ms. Roberts was talking about that, and I understand that some of the information that we have on the, when we're expecting to have details about the budget books, in the budget books, that perhaps we're not going to have as detailed of a prose, the writing, write-up for the numbers that are in the budget books that we've had in the past, and that might become a problem if we don't understand, if we can't read about why some request is needed. I said we would have to address some of the needs of the veterans' homes. There's still growing numbers of needs, and there's growing numbers of veterans that are being served by the various veterans programs, and that is now under State Department's. 11 agencies are up for review by the Sunset Commission. And then there are some people that, some representatives that say we should just not have a Sunset Commission. So that is an issue. We will have to have some additional information about the back office consolidation study from the Department of Administration. And then the Amateur Sports Commission will probably want to tell us about the health and safety of the Mighty Duck hockey rinks that have been funded in the past, and there's still continued problems with the air quality in many of the rinks across the state, especially in the rinks that were done by the first round of Mighty Ducks funding. So those are things that we thought of and that are on the list, but we know that there are other things that should be on the list, and I would welcome your input to add to Ms. Roberts and my list in the near future. The assignment for today was to invite everyone that would share, be willing to share something about themselves. And my picture has been up there for a while. I live in northeastern Minnesota. My district is 3B. I have a new district in that it is part of St. Louis County and now part of Lake County. My district starts at Solway Township on the west and includes Proctor and Midway Township, and then Hermantown, and then townships of Kenosha and Rice Lake, two precincts of Duluth, which includes the new airport, and the Kenwood area, which has the College of St. Scholastica in it, and goes up to Brainerd Avenue in Duluth on the east side, and then the townships of Lakewood and Normanna, and Duluth Township up the shore. And then there's three unorganized precincts along the Knife River, where the Great Lakes Candy Store is located at Knife River, and Emily's Restaurant. The community of Larsmont, and then I go into Two Harbors, and there's four wards in Two Harbors, and they are new to the district, or new to my area, or I'm new to them in District 3B. I live in a house in Hermantown that I was born into. It was built by Franklin Roosevelt. I thought growing up that Franklin Roosevelt was a carpenter or a house builder. And when I was in school and the teacher was talking about, later was talking about President Roosevelt, I said, how could he be president and a house builder? Because my dad used to say, Franklin Roosevelt built this house. It was built by the WPA during the as an answer to the Depression, and it's a part of a project. 84 houses were built, and the people had to qualify. You had to have a garden, you had to have animals, and you had to have a job. And you couldn't make too much money, but you had to be sustainable. With the Jackson Project came a co-op store and later a locker plant. And that locker plant is gone now, and it's been turned into the school administration building. Times change. I was a school teacher. I taught at Clover Valley High School, which happens to be in Duluth Township. My first teaching job, and I taught there for 3 years, and then I went to Duluth Central, and I was a social studies teacher for 33 years at Duluth Central. I retired in 1997, and my only job now is as state representative. When I can, I go to the lake, whether it's Lake Superior or Zippo Bay on Lake of the Woods or a small lake around Pike Lake, a small lake in the area, or whether I go to the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean, I'm a happy person. If I have a book with me, I could sit with my feet in the water and read, or as I did last May and June on the banks of Maui, looking at turtles, or on Kauai looking at beautiful flowers. I start out in Oahu, and I love Oahu because you can go anywhere on the bus, if you're my age, for a dollar. And you can get all the way around the island. and you can go to the most wonderful beach, which the Obamas go to, Kailua Beach, on the other side of the island from Waikiki. And you can see forever, and there aren't a ton of people. There are a few parasailers and flights of fancy kind of things, but it's great. And that's all I'm going to say. Does anyone else volunteer?
I guess I can go next. I brought a picture here. I'm Representative Mike Nelson. I represent there's two pictures there. I represent Brooklyn Park, the southern half of Brooklyn Park. I've been in the legislature now for, this is my sixth term, so I'm starting my 11th year. I originally ran in a special election before the last redistricting and lost the special election, but then won that following fall. So I've gone through now two redistrictings. I'm a carpenter by trade. I worked in the carpentry trade for over 30 years. The last 10 years I was a business agent for the carpenters, and now I'm retired. And so pensions are an important issue to me, and continue to be that. The pictures I got passed around, I got a picture of some deer that were taken on one of my deer cameras. Oh, and there's some pictures of up in my cabin up north, some lady slippers. I like taking pictures of lady slippers. One year I went up to my cabin and in middle of June, and I looked out there, and the 40 acres that I have was covered. The whole field was covered with lady slippers. You almost couldn't walk more than 5 feet without stepping on one. And so I enjoy taking pictures of those, and taking pictures of deer, and deer hunting is one of my passions. And I guess that's all I'm going to say for right now.
Yeah, I'm State Representative Bob Detmer, Senate District 39A, which includes parts of Chisago County and much of Washington County. I spent 34 years teaching at Forest Lake High School, head wrestling coach. I haven't had to use any of the headlock on the house floor yet, but I also just recently retired from the military. This is a hat that was given to me when I left Kuwait. I was mobilized for 9/11, after 9/11 for 20 months. My wife and I also have twin sons that are West Point graduates. They're currently serving. One is in Afghanistan right now serving, and his twin brother just got back. And also our daughter is married to a military police. I retired from the military in 2011. But I also serve on the Capital Investment Committee and also Ways and Means Committee, and the lead Republican for this committee. I just want to make sure that my goal is to make Minnesota a veterans-friendly state to come and retire here. And so I'll be carrying some legislation forward to make Minnesota a more friendly state for our veterans to come back to Minnesota to retire. The main book that I use to guide my life is the Bible. All our three children are all Christians, and also their wives and husbands. So that's been a big part of my life too. Thank you.
Representative Benson.
Madam Chair, thank you. I represent 26B, which is a southern portion of Rochester and about two-thirds of the land area of Olmsted County. This is my second term. It's been my pleasure and honor to serve. This will be the second time on this committee. I'm a husband and a father of four, and now have five grandchildren. And when the request came to bring something that you're interested in, I thought about, of course, holding up an iPad picture of my four grandchildren. But they all live on the East Coast, so in terms of consuming amounts of time, I wish they did more. We get out to the East Coast two or three times a year, but not nearly enough. Other than that, my wife and I both like to travel. We both really love history. I read a lot. Recent past, I am a professor at a small Bible college in Rochester. I spent 31 years and retired as an operation executive from the U.S. Postal Service in 2004. But we now like to travel, and especially historical sites, American Revolution and Civil War. A lot of activities, of course, this next summer. Have a a real passionate interest in ancestry, and have a daughter and son-in-law and two grandkids that live in Jersey. And my great-grandfather to the fourth was a Hessian that was captured at the Battle of Trenton, and later became a U.S. citizen with 14 children in southern Illinois. So just a lot of passion about, you know, pursuing that interest. But again, number one's family and my grandchildren.
Thank you. Representative Bernardi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we're going to find a lot of the same values around this table as we go around. I have a picture of my father in front of where we spend a lot of the summer up in the Alexandria area. He's got a fish that he's displaying to me there, and I've been fishing with my father since I was a little girl, ice fishing and regular fishing, I guess you'd call it. Anyway, so that's what I enjoy spending time up at the lake, as we call it. And Madam Chair, 2 months in Hawaii, is that?
No, 2 weeks.
Oh, I thought 2 months. I thought you were a very smart woman.
17 days.
Okay, excellent. Look, that's awesome. And let's see, I've served in the legislature before for 6 years. I've been out for 6 years. I came back. Our daughters are now in college. And grew up in the community in which I represent, which is New Brighton and Fridley and Spring Lake Park, graduate of Spring Lake Park High School. That pretty much does it, probably. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Powell.
Yes, Madam Chair. I represent the District 13A, which is south and west of St. Cloud, kind of the southeast corner of Stearns County. Lived there with my wife, Sherry. We've been married 28 years. We raised four kids. I've got one left at home. They go range from 17 to 27. Three boys, one girl, and the three boys are all followed me into the National Guard, which is pretty proud of me. It's pretty proud that I've got three sons that followed me into the military. We've got just a... Between us three, we've got four deployments since 2003, and that's where I believe my wife is the real hero, because I deployed my second time. I got back 2 months later. I had a son that deployed to Afghanistan. He got back 2 months later. Another son deployed. So this Christmas was the first time in 4 years that all four of us, we're all home in 4 years. So it was the first time we've had Christmas together for 4 years. Civilian-wise, I'm a retired firefighter. I started as a firefighter for the city of St. Cloud. I worked there for 16 years. Leaving there as the fire marshal, I went to work for the city of Waite Park as their fire marshal billing official. And then in 2011, I retired from the city of Waite Park and then went to work full-time for the National Guard. I quit the National Guard to run for this office. It's just a different way to serve. I quit the full-time force. I'm still in the National Guard, so there's still... people say, you've got 34 years in, why don't you quit? Why don't you retire? I still like it. I like the people, and I think it's our duty to serve as long as we can. And so this is a different way to serve. What I brought my Red Bull coffee cup because the Red Bull Infantry Division's here, and I brought my challenge coin for my first deployment. So it's one of those things you have in your pocket, and if they pull out the challenge coin and you don't have one, you're buying. So you should always have your challenge coin along with it. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Representative Khan?
Yes. Well, let me see. I'm Phyllis Khan. My district is around the University of Minnesota, and somehow I missed the assignment to bring something. But I've got my... How could I have missed it? But I do have my iPad with me, and I do have... which has a website, so I've pulled out one picture from the website, which is... I think pretty good. This is the bottom one. Sorry. And I'm, along with Representative Lynn Carlson, one of the longest-serving members of the legislature. I served this, no, not quite ever. I chaired this committee for many times, or was the assistant, the lead DFLer on it when the Republicans chaired it. I do a lot of bicycling, running, reading, and so forth. I'm responsible for various things. That it was so nice to see that big budget for OET, because that was the thing that Representative Downey and I worked on together and accomplished in the last session. And I'll give a basic warning to any Republicans on this committee. Representative Downey featured in his campaign literature, with a picture bigger than I had in my campaign literature, of me and Governor Dayton, to show how well he worked with everybody. And before that, a former Representative Knobloch connected me with Representative Krenke when he was running for the congressman, the seat that Michelle Bachmann now has. So just a basic warning, never put me in your campaign literature. It's a total disaster. It's a total disaster. I'm pleased to serve with Representative Murphy. We've worked a long time on lots of things, and I'm sure we'll get good stuff done in this committee, and including, I noticed all sorts of things happening. The Minute Services proposed name change for Office of Enterprise Technology. If someone doesn't do a bill, that's the kind of thing I think we can do in this omnibus bill. So.
Representative Kahn, about that picture.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Let me say, I just put it in to show it's a nice bipartisan picture. That's, also family. I do have a husband. I have two kids who unfortunately live at opposite ends of the continent. One set lives in Eugene, Oregon, where they raise horses and work in the wine industry. And the other set, there's computer jocks, and they live in Montreal, and I've got four grandkids in Montreal. And if you think grandkids are cute, they're terminally cute when they speak French. Anyway, that's on one of the first rides of the North Star commuter train. That's me in the middle, my husband next to me, and former Representative Peggy Lepick, who was then on the Metro Council. And we did one of those first rides together, put our bikes on the North Star, rode around, and then came back. So I'm a big fan of not only bikes, but also mass transit.
Great. And your colors match.
Yeah, I know. You know, that's been our colors for our bike group for a long time, so Peggy must have been instrumental in getting the North Star colors to match that.
Representative Freeberg?
Hi, I'm Mike Freiberg. I represent District 45B, which is all or portions of Crystal, Golden Valley, New Hope, and Robbinsdale. In my first term here, look forward to serving on this committee. I brought, I probably should have thought this through a little more. I brought a photo of my two kids on my phone here. However, you never know what sort of strange Facebook message might appear on your phone, so I'm a little hesitant to have it broadcast up there. what I'll just do is, if anyone would like to see this, I'm more than happy to show off pictures of my kids. I have two of them. My daughter Rose is 3 years old, and my son Joseph is 2.5 months old. He was born 10 days before this election, so if I seem a little sleep deprived and or incoherent, that's why. So he's taken a little bit longer to develop a consistent sleep schedule than his sister did. So once again, look forward to serving on this committee. So thanks.
Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative O'Driscoll, now serving my second term in the legislature, and redistricting took me out of 14A and put me into 13B. And I was wondering why that guy over there looked kind of familiar. He's the other side of my district here, so our Senate district, Representative Howe. Sartell, Sauk Rapids, St. Stephen, and Holdingford are the primary cities in my district. It's got a solid urban core as well as a rural area, and agriculture is a big part of what happens in my legislative district. District actually physically got smaller because of the growth that was happening in that part of the state. So I have less geographic area and still the same number of people that everybody else has in their district. We got redistricted, and I was 13B. I wasn't quite exactly sure if that was a good thing or not, because of the number 13. And then since then, I've done some investigating, and I found out that I'm starting my 13th year in elected office this year as well. And it's 2013, so I think that there's just a lot of things that are kind of circling out there that this is either going to be a really, really good year or a really, really not so good year. And so far, it's gone well. As I said, one of the things that's extremely important to me in our district is that of the agricultural. And I brought one of my favorite characters here, which is Charlie Brown from the Peanuts Group. Charles Schultz, a longtime Minnesotan, brought that to us and is beloved by a lot of people across the state. And I always have this in my office because it reminds me of the importance of ag in the state, where 20% or more of our economy is dependent on the ag and ag-related industries. And so because we have both an urban core and a rural, which farming is an extremely important part of that, it allows me to be able to keep both sides of the district, or both the major activities that happen in our district from the urban and rural, at the forefront of my mind. So with that, I'll defer back to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I guess I never thought of Charlie Brown as a farmer before.
I'm sure he's been a lot of things if you look around town.
That's true. Good answer. Right. Representative Swatsky.
Madam Chair, I'm Mary Swatsky. I'm from 17B, which is Candiota County, Wilmer, New London, Spicer, Atwater, or a little bit of Atwater, and then Sundberg, Pennock. I am new to the House of Representatives, and so this is a wonderful experience. And like you, Representative Kahn, somehow I missed this memo, and I really feel like I have failed on my first day in kindergarten. But I am a special education teacher in Wilmer at the Wilmer Middle School. I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students with learning disabilities. And but I do have, actually, a picture that I can show. And because I am, I'm starting my 8th season as the VFW baseball coordinator for Post 1639 in Wilmer and the surrounding area. And there is a picture of my three coaches last year. And George is on the left, and he is a wonderful man. And I appreciate his skills immensely. And then my son is on the right, and he's been mentoring under George for the last 2-3 years, and has gone through the program as well. But with that, I've been very involved with baseball, and if you could imagine a baseball, I didn't have one in my apartment to bring as well. So, but it's been a huge part of my life. I did co-chair the state amateur baseball tournament in 2010, which brought quite a few 38 Class B teams into the Wilmer area and Class C, and we got 2 state champions. So baseball is a huge part of my life, thanks to my father, who was a veteran and was instrumental in supporting the American Legion and VFW programs in Granite Falls. And so that's a little bit about me. I have 2 sons. John is 21, and he's at Morehead State in business administration. And our first son, Jeff, is teaching 3rd grade in Painesville. Came from South Dakota, so he's glad to jump the border and be back in Minnesota. And my husband is a retired school teacher and working part-time at Harvey Anderson funeral homes. So he's back home, and I'm here for the week.
Great. Representative Leidiger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Ernie Leidiger, and I represent Western Carver County.
This is my second term, and I was on this committee last term. Carver County is located to in this box, the metro area box. For those that don't know where it is, it's the contains the town. It's a farming community. Contains the towns of Waconia and Watertown, Norwood, Young America, Cologne, Victoria. Wonderful area, God's country. I'm a member of the VFW in Waconia and also the American Legion. And I did bring with me a flag that was given to me when I retired from the Navy, and it was flown over the U.S. Capitol in 1994 when I retired. And since that time, I've been in business and in launched a nonprofit called Operation Homefront, which was to serve dependents of deployed service members, and it is now the fourth largest charity in that space. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Wills.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's an honor to serve on this committee. It's my first term to the House of Representatives, an honor to be here. And my district is 57B. It's the northern part of Apple Valley and Rosemont and Coates. So a couple just distinctions about my district so you can kind of get an idea of the area. It's very suburban, but the eastern side of Rosemont is more rural. We do have the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division in Rosemont, so very honored to represent them. And then also the Dakota County Technical Colleges in the area, and also Flint Hills, so manufacturing industry is very important to the area. And I'm married. My husband, Rob, and I got married about 2.5 years ago. No children yet, but looking forward to starting a family in the right time. And so I live in the Apple Valley part of the district. And what I brought for my, about myself, also kind of fits with my district and a committee that I'm serving on. So this is a penguin. This is just a calendar from 2011 for the Minnesota Zoo, which is in my district, so honored to represent them. You can put it up if you'd like. And the personal significance is that when my husband first told me he liked me about 4 years ago, he won me a penguin out of a claw machine. So ever since then, it's been kind of a special memory, and he calls me his penguin. And we had the opportunity in 2011 to pet penguins down in SeaWorld in Florida. So just kind of a personal touch there, and looking forward to serving with all of you. I'm excited to be on this committee. I did request to be on the committee, especially for the veterans issues. I have a lot of family members who have served in the military, and because it's important to my district, I look forward to working on that. So thank you.
Great. Representative Kreshaw.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I brought with me, and by the way, I noticed the Republicans all read the homework, so that was pretty good. I brought with me a picture of my family from Israel, which represents two things. The importance of my family and my faith. As a Catholic, it was nice to go back to our roots and spend some time with our kids and really walk around and see some of the history and our faith come alive. So I am from 90. Which is the Morrison County and Todd County area, a Little Falls. And I apologize, Madam Chair, I know you put a plea out for a unanimous and a bipartisan effort on the bill, but after Hermantown beat us on Saturday, I just don't see how that's possible. So, but our Little Falls hockey
I
team...
I have nothing to do with it.
That makes it even worse, I'm sorry. I am married 19 years with 5 children, as you can see, and they range from a son who's a senior all the way down to hiding in the back is my sweet Ainsley, my youngest. She's in kindergarten. And one boy and 4 girls. And so my son and I are very much outnumbered. This is an honor. I'm a first-termer, and I started out in education, and I left education to start a couple of online education companies, and now I'm in economic development. So outside of my education world, I am a serial entrepreneur and coach, mentor, parent, and all the above. So
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to it. I did request this committee, mainly because Camp Ripley sits squarely in my district, so that's very important to me, and the things that they bring and their sacrifices.
Thank you. Representative Dan?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually go by Dean.
Dean.
So,
thank you for that correction.
Some folks that live in the Elk River and Forest Lake area may be familiar with the pronunciation of my last name. Many of you have probably bought herbs or oil in that area. Unfortunately, they're distant cousins, not close relatives. So, the district I represent is 59B. It includes the majority of downtown Minneapolis, a neighborhood in Elliott Park and a sliver of Bryn Mawr, as well as the southern portion of North Minneapolis, south of Broadway. I actually grew up about 5 miles away from where I live now, so it's great to represent an area that I actually spent a lot of time in my youth. So very excited to be here, first termer. And I've lived there with my partner 14 years, Joan. I have one son who's 22 bonus daughters and 5 bonus grandchildren. So life gets pretty busy and crazy and hectic around holidays. The photo that I brought is of me jumping off a mountain in Rio de Janeiro. People always ask me, are you crazy? And I said, well, no, if the person I was jumping with was willing to risk their life, I have a feeling that I was probably pretty safe. It was quite an experience. If you ever get the chance to do some hang gliding, I would suggest you try it. It's a wonderful experience to be up in the air and not have any sound around you, and it was just beautiful. I do like to travel a lot. I'm an architect by training, and I'm excited to be here at the state legislature.
Thank you. Representative Purcell?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if I need a microphone or not. I'm going to be brief. I do have a picture. Someone earlier was talking about having folks together for Christmas, and this is, I won't even all fit on there, probably. I have John Purcell. Represent District 5A, if you look on your map, right up in the north-central portion of the state. Parts of Beltrami, Cass, Itasca, and Hubbard counties, and none of any of them, the entirety. Kind of geographically, the city of Bemidji, Walker, Hackensack, Cass Lake, S Lake, Bena, some small towns on the Leech Lake Indian Reservation, the entire Indian Reservation in my district. This is my family. We had all our grandkids home for Christmas. Didn't have all our kids, we had all our grandkids anyway. So, pretty big deal. And you can see the insignia at the bottom there, the words of Platt is beautiful. Well, we tried to get everybody in plaid. This was my wife's idea, because I wear plaid just about every day, except when I'm down here. So, and some of you know that Paul Bunyan was born right around Lake Bemidji there, and lived for many years logging, etc. And Paul Bunyan was very fond of plaid, and I'm pretty fond of my chainsaw, my fishing pole, my 30-30, and other things that go along with the outdoors. That's pretty much my life. Madam Chair, you talked about being on a lake. I'm living in amongst them, and I share that passion for having your feet in the water. I like to have a fishing pole in my hand when I do it, but I like to be around the water. So enjoy all the outdoor activities. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Simon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's good to be back on this committee with you and with the former chair of the committee, Representative Kahn, and others. I represent District 46B, which is Hopkins and St. Louis Park, which is also where I grew up. And so it's an added privilege and pleasure to represent that area. In my other life, I'm a lawyer. I'm married and I have a 5-week-old daughter, so I'll be competing with Representative Freiberg for sleeplessness and disorientation. So other than a picture of her, which I'm happy to show you all and don't have a still photo, but I'm happy to be the proud father there, I thought maybe relevant to the work of the legislature too, I'd put this up because one of the people I most admire is Ben Franklin. So there's a piece of his wit and wisdom, and I'm kind of an amateur American history buff, and he didn't take himself too seriously, but he took the issues he was working on seriously. He was an inventor, he was proactive, never served an elective office, yet he's on the $100 bill, and that's for a reason. Arguably saved the United States of America with the Great Compromise, big states, small states, let's have a House and a Senate, etc. So that's just a little bit about who I admire, and I hope his spirit can kind of spill over here. Thanks.
That's a different picture than I've ever seen of him, too. Thank you. Representative Newton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This reminds me of high school. I didn't turn in an assignment for graduation from high school. Graduating from Osseo High School, class of 64, Governor Freeman came out to give us our diplomas, and my English teacher, who was unhappy that I hadn't turned in my assignment, made sure that as they read the names alphabetically and everyone got up to get their diploma, I was left sitting in the stand until the very last.
And she no got even. No communication with your English teacher.
I'm Jerry Newton. I represent 37A, which is northern suburbs of portions of Coon Rapids, Blaine, and Spring Lake Park. The photograph I have here is of my grandmother. She was in her 90s at the time in a nursing home. And she is a person that really had me interested in politics from a young age. I would have to, if you haven't done it, you've missed something, listening to the speeches of Hubert Humphrey. My goodness, talk about a man that not only could speak, but could speak for a long time. And as a young lad, listening to Hubert Humphrey was something special. But my grandmother's family included her brothers, who one of whom worked closely with Hubert Humphrey for many years in Minneapolis. Another was a career police officer in Minneapolis. Another was career CB in the Navy. And so she stressed to me the importance of public service. And from the time I graduated from high school, I have essentially been in public service. I served in the Army for 23 years active duty, 19 of those years overseas, including a tour in Vietnam. Since then, I've been out. I was in business for 20 years, but during that time, I served on school boards, city council, and numerous committees and commissions, and was fortunate in 2008 to be elected to the legislature, serving one term, and am returning for my second term. So I really look forward to working on this committee. There's a lot to learn, but I especially look forward to working with Representative Detmer on veterans issues. We did some good things a few years ago, and I know you continued in the last sessions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Very good. Mr. Murphy. Is there anyone else that is unable to be here on Wednesday? Ms. Kyer, you can follow. You can follow. You can follow. Mr. Murphy.
Madam Chair, my name is Tom Murphy. I represent the Science Museum of Minnesota. This is a picture of my wife and I snowshoeing. We enjoy the great outdoors. We live in St. Paul. We have 3 children, 9, 6, and 2.
All
That's
right.
Exciting enough, I can tell you.
Is that, do you snowshoe in St. Paul?
No, I believe this picture is from your district, if I'm not mistaken. By chance, of course.
I thought it looked familiar.
I couldn't get the Superior Hiking Trail sign in the back. It was cropped out, I guess.
But snowshoeing up north is fun.
It is.
But it rained Friday. And so there's not, it's just ice now. Hard ice.
It's not good snowshoeing weather the last couple of years.
No. But maybe next week.
I'll be up if it is.
Okay. Ms. Kyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Andrea Kyer. I'm Deputy Director at the Historical Society, and I am familiar with this exercise. Oops, wrong one. We'll start with this one. This is probably in 1996 at this exercise. It's Representative Mary Murphy, my two daughters, and Representative Mary Jo McGuire. Since that time and asking what we do, I spend most of my time trying to figure out how to pay for college for these two children now, Hannah and Margaret. And I, this year, will be celebrating my 25th wedding anniversary to a gentleman who used to be the fiscal analyst to this committee. So it's been a long road. I should have taken it in front of a historic site, I guess, if I was doing my job. But, so thank you.
Thank you. And I would like to note for the record that David Kelleher is excused today.
Yes, he does do our government relations.
And he's from the Historical Society. Larry Redman is also excused today. He's from the arts world. And he got excused. Paul? The CAP board.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
My name is Nancy Stark, and I am the Executive Secretary of the Capital Area Architectural and Planning Board, CAP Board for short. And I live in Shoreview, and I have winter activities of skiing. I love to ski out west, and I finally bought a helmet. So I'm such a purist, I've never had a helmet. And then in the summer months, I tend a garden and appease the deer from all over in Shoreview. And I did have a couple years of my life up on Pike Lake on the north end, and it was some of my best childhood and the most fish that I have ever caught in my life. On Pike Lake.
Really? On my Pike Lake?
On your Pike Lake. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You must have caught them all.
I did. My father and I.
Wonderful.
So, and I also have a comment for Representative Kahn. I needed to put in a second new furnace last week. And guess who walked in my back door but Phil Krinke? And we talked about you and how he most enjoyed working with you. So
I will point out that the piece that Representative Knobloch put out that got them both defeated was explaining how Representative Krinke and I were really totally identical people in the legislature.
Yes. Mr. Mandel.
Good afternoon. I'm showing, I know you've all just finished your election. This is, I hesitate to show you a campaign piece, but at any rate, it has. I ran for city council just recently, but it shows my family. I'm a planner for the Capital Area Planning Board. I've been here for 25 years fighting to get the Capitol restored. My family, this year I celebrated my 60th birthday and my 30th anniversary. My oldest, who is a marriage and family counselor and married 4 years, is any hour now giving us our first grandchild. My second is finishing her master's degree for school counseling at Mankato. So she would, if she were here, she would be asking you to sign a petition to increase the the number of counselors per student in Minnesota since we are almost dead last. And my youngest, my son, is a recent graduate of St. John's and working for the Boy Scouts now. My other activities that I like the campaign piece for is I'm totally dedicated to the community. I, in addition to running unsuccessfully for city council, I've served 8 years on the school board, about 9 years on city commissions, environmental, and planning. I've served on Minnesota Design Team for 20 years, now chairing Minnesota Design Team, and our most recent visit was actually to Bemidji. And we've done team visits in many of the small communities that many of you probably have in your own districts. And then, in addition to that, I love to garden, I love to travel, and I love to take nature photography especially. I do ski, although my wife thinks I'm crazy at my age, but I love doing it. But I don't do it as recklessly as my son or any of my kids do. So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have a helmet?
It has been a while since I have skied, so I have not gotten a helmet, although I have a bike helmet. Which would look pretty funny on the ski slopes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Office of Administrative Hearings. We're a little over, but we'll hear ya.
Just 30 seconds, Madam Chair.
No.
Chairman, members. My name is Eric Lipman. I'm an administrative law judge with the Minnesota Office of Administrative Hearings. Was a former member of this body. I'll zoom out. My picture is mindful of the chairwoman's call to team and the success of open dialogue with your teammates. I brought a picture of my teammates at the Office of Administrative Hearings. I'll try to zoom out so you can see. There we go. We have 26 compensation judges, 7 full-time administrative law judges, and 4 part-time judges. We're a great team that talks frequently together, works collaboratively as a team, and I think has great successes for this office. We're a tribunal within the executive branch, and that's why we're in front of the State Department's committee, and we hope likewise to be an open, constructive dialogue on how our judges can use their legal training to solve problems and resolve disputes and problems that might well face this committee or the legislature in general. Like I said, a former member, I have what is now known as the Lohmer seat back in a prior redistricting, and I guess in my personal life, after getting a law degree many years ago, I'm back at community college. I'm now a proud enrollee of Normandale Community College in Bloomington, where I'm taking Hebrew classes at night in advance of a trip to Israel, like one of the representatives mentioned earlier before, in advance of May. I'm going following on Representative Simon and Hornstein's and Tom's trip 2 years ago. Senator LeClaire and I are going to Jerusalem in May. And so in training now in Normandale to try and strengthen my language skills, and I think it's a way, I've become a great believer in the community college system as a result of my own very positive experience in Normandale. And so if folks are interested in sharpening the saw, I think Bloomington is a great place to be. So with that, you have my very grateful thanks, and here's our team, which I'm very proud of.
Thank you very much, and I'd be interested at a later time to hear how many weddings have taken place by administrative law judges.
I think that you could count them on 2 hands, and I'm mindful, Madam Chair, that you were the sole lone dissenting vote, but on a principled dissent, I understand. But I look forward to my first wedding, and if I could give an advertisement, I'll be glad to do it for free, just for the joy of bringing love into the world.
Thank you very much. This meeting will be continued on Wednesday at 12:30. 12:30.